But I just gotta know one thing. Are you ready? No, I said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
This is the Brother Love Wrestling Podcast. This is for the gigolos and the gigolettes. Don't try this at home, and I hope you like it. Whoop whoop.
And welcome to another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast.
Whoop whoop.
There's not much to say about this episode today, except we're kind of going by the seat of our pants.
I never understood that. What does that mean, again, by the seat of my pants?
Flying by the seat of your pants? I don't know. I like the saying, though. I'll tell you that.
Do you?
I do.
Flying by the seat of my pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But, and the funny thing is, that was legitimately our plan, and what, 10 minutes ago or so, we got a text from Hale Collins and said, hey, you guys want to record an episode? Yeah, sure. We were planning on doing that anyway, but since you want to come on, like we said before, Vic and Hale have an open door policy here on Brotherly Love Wrestling, so we're going to have Hale on.
I didn't think he would take that so literal.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to argue.
2 a.m. comes around, I'm asleep, text message comes in, you guys ready for an interview? Hell, no, I'm fucking it. We got to close the door sometime.
So, yeah, we're just going to, I guess, talk about wrestling just like we did with Vic and see what's on Hale's mind, and which is a scary subject altogether, but
this is his time of the year. It's almost Halloween. Yes. He's a big horror nut. I don't know, man. He might be just jacked up and wants to talk to someone.
All right, so let's get Hale on the line. All right, we have Hale Collins on the show with us. Hale, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be back, living the now with you guys.
So, last time we had Hale on the show, we were hyping up his match at NEW against Darby Allin for Northeast Wrestling's championship, and unfortunately didn't go the way, well, any of us really wanted it to. What have you been up to since, and have you recovered from that that long jump onto a table?
Yeah, it sucks, you know. Like, usually, like, you know, like, I love the hardcore style because, you know, I grew up, like, watching ECW, and knock on wood, but, like, I've never really got hurt in any, like, my hardcore matches or anything like that, you know. That's why I jump off stuff higher, I jump off stuff lower, like, double stack tables, like anywhere. But before the show, I saw the tables, you know, I kept my eye on them, but they looked different, you know, they were made different, and that, like, but usually when I see that, or see something was off my brain, like a red flag, naturally I should normally attack it, like, what's up with these tables? But I'm like, eh, screw it, whatever, you know? And I was just living the now, and I'm like, yeah, screw it, whatever happens, happens, you know? So, like, the table looked really thin, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, eh, whatever. So I've done it so many times where, like, nothing could ever go wrong, you know? And so I went flying off the top. When flying through table to table did not, like, just, it was like basically tipping onto the concrete, like 20 feet up. Ooh. You know? And I am like I refused to not go all out. You know, I'm not going to drop one leg and have the leg move through the table with blah, 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 you know, land on my field. But like, I just went all out, and what happened was my hip, like, got out of line with my pelvis. But it's good now.
So, now, you have a match, you had a match this past weekend, right?
Yeah, with Chris Battle, it was good. Like, you know, it's all right. Like, I wrestled Chris Battle many times. Like, me and Vic wrestled them, the Battle Bros, many times. We actually got the tag team champions from them in this steel cage match. It was cool. You know, it was what it was. I went over and hopefully see what happens now.
So, go ahead.
No, what are you going to say?
In regards to anything coming up, you know what I mean, in your future, what you have anything planned?
I've actually just recently applied to a couple places. I'm on the waiting game right now, see what they say. I sent some stuff. We'll see what they say. You know, like, I know, like, you know, a lot of places are picking up a lot of guys, so I'm trying to really throw myself out there, you know. So, we'll see how it goes, you know.
And this will be pretty much you venturing off into full-time singles wrestling, correct?
Yeah, you know, it's all, like, Vic was ready to come back, you know, wants to come back or whatever it is. Like, I will always leave the singles door for the tag team door, because I know we're the most dominant tag team around when we're on our game, you know. So we'll see. I don't know, I'm just looking at it now. We'll just see what happens. I'm just going, like, right now I'm singles, you know, so I'm just knocking on some doors to see if they open.
Pray tell to any doors you might be knocking on.
I really like the NWA product. I like the MLW. Of course, you know, Fall Leaf, but like, I like the NWA. I like how they all look like men. You know, they all look like if they walked into the bar, they could probably beat everybody up. You know. So it's cool NWA is bringing that back. Like, it's like, you know, wrestlers used to be really tough, you know, like, in the ring, outside the ring, in real life, like, you would never mess with a professional wrestler. And some other places aren't really like that, you know what I mean? So it's like, I respect it, you know, of course I respect the talent out there and all that good stuff, but it was cool, like, seeing something different and seeing
like a throwback.
Yeah, like throwback, like, you know, like, it's cool, you know, it's it looks like a cool place to work, and you know, it looks like a lot of badasses work there, you know, so it's cool.
Now that style and that the way that they show it, that's kind of like a lost art or a dying breed, would you say?
Yeah, like, that's like the fun stuff, man. Like, if, like, someone's, like, taking control of my arm, and I got to sell and all that cool stuff, telling the story in the ring, that's good stuff, you know? It was funny. I was watching NWA, you know, then I turned to Elite, and my thought process was like, oh, I just turned off, like, a story, you know, like, what looks like someone's arm was getting ripped off to a guy running full speed towards a person, and then the other person just moved out of the way and flying into the ropes.
So
it's just hard to, it's just different styles, so many different styles. But,
catch wrestling versus flippy shit?
What was that?
I said catch wrestling versus flippy shit, kind of?
Because you want to tell a story in the ring, and you want everything to register, you know. And, but NWA really presents that. That was cool. MLW really presents that. You know, AEW presents that. But you know what I mean? It was a good freshet up there when I saw NWA and like how much they put into their psychology, you know.
Now, this past week, Jim Ross on his podcast was talking about AEW, and to the point to where he was even saying that he thinks it's a little too much of the flippy stuff. Do you think, I mean, and of course, in your opinion, would you rather the NWA type product, the limb targeting and stuff like that, as opposed to the stuff that a Darby Allin would do? You know what I mean? It, because even a guy who works for that company is saying that he thinks a lot of times it's a little too much.
Yeah, well, like if you're gonna work a body part and tell a story in the ring, it's gonna extend your career. Darby Allin's style is awesome. It's entertaining. Like the guy takes a pain, like you know what I mean? Like I wrestled him, and the guy, like you know, he must have a very high tolerance to pain, which is awesome. And that's his style. That's his style. But then you got like you know, I feel like. Like the NWA style, can anyone can watch it and pay attention. You know, like the attention's there. Like you can tell a story and you can get the same thing over as a fast paced match doing a billion things. You know, like I don't need to see a diamond cutter in every match. You know, like.
Wait, what are we saying? Diamond cutter? Is that still a popular move?
Oh, I mean the RKO, you know.
any kind of cutter.
Yeah, any kind of cutter. It's like the two, I don't know, like I feel like back like you used to have to like sit there and watch the show that you're on, and if a match before did any moves that you were planning on doing, you couldn't do them. So like does it water down the move, you know, like if there's three RKOs in the match before, then in the match and then the match after is like six RKOs, you know, it's like, all right, we already saw the RKO, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's same thing with like the Canadian Destroyer. You know what I mean? That being overused as well. It's used, I mean, AEW, they use it all the time. And it's a great move. But I mean, I'm pretty sure a while ago it was that's what you were talking about, that it's just overused now. Everybody uses it.
Yeah, like it was cool because like, you know, like Bill Carr from Teen Tremendous had like, you must have like a really good pulse of the crowd. Because like the only person that ever really did it at the time was like Petey Williams, maybe a couple other guys, but no one big did it. So when Bill Carr did it at House of Hardcore to Victor, let's just like the whole place erupted. No one like they almost got like the sense of feel of when like I never forget like when Rob Van Dam did the band Terminator for the first time. You know, like he did. I feel like he did the first time at the Kipson Civic Center. Against Balls Mahoney, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was something, it was almost like the crowd was, like, quiet. They had no idea what Rob Van Dam was doing. And so when he did it, the whole crowd was in shock and then went nuts. So, like, when Bill Carr got Vic in the Canadian Destroyer, the whole crowd was like, yo, what's Bill Carr going to do? What do you think? It was a powerbomb, running powerbomb, pile driver? Like, what? And then when he did the Canadian Destroyer, the whole place went nuts, you know?
I mean, that's not really a small guy pulling off that move, either.
Yeah, it was so different. It was awesome. But now it's, like, freaking, like it's such a risky move, man. Like, people have to understand, like, that move can paralyze someone in seconds. And they're just throwing it around, and naturally, a Canadian destroyer should put someone on a stretcher and be carried out, you know?
And now it's not even a setup move. Now it's just a mid-move match to hype the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, what sucks is, like, the guys feel it. So, like, if you meet a Canadian Destroyer, the guy actually, in their mind, is like, please pin me. I want the match to end. Because it's not comforting, you know? So it's like, if someone's going over a match with me and like, hey, we're going to hit a, I want to hit a Canadian Destroyer. I'd be like, all right, cool, pin me.
So what I'm getting...
You know, like, yeah. You know, it's like, cool, I'll go down with that. Cool.
So what
it doesn't make me a pussy. It doesn't make you a pussy. It's just like, where you go from there? Taking a flip on top of your head. What are you going to pin me with? A schoolboy pin after that? I'll take the full flip on top of my brain, which now I lost brain cells, and I'll probably get Alzheimer's at 60 instead of 70, and I probably will have lower back pain for the rest of my life. So how about we just go from there?
So you're really saying that this move is every bit of painful?
Well, yeah, man. Like, I don't care how you put it. I don't care if, like, the guy has, like, the thickest thighs in the world. I don't give a fuck. You're doing a flip, a backflip. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting some hit on top of your head. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. So,
like, but then things can go wrong. You know, it's like, you see it. You guys see it. You know, you can tell when someone crumbles from a Canadian Destroyer. Like...
Fortunately, I haven't seen anyone go down from that move yet, like, permanently. Thankfully.
It goes like this. It's like, Jake the Snake, DDT is different than anyone else's, and, you know, Petey Williams' Canadian Destroyer is different than anyone's. That's why I always say, when I hit my top rope elbow, that's it. No one's kicking out. Because I have the best top rope elbow in wrestling.
Makes sense. So... basically, what I'm getting from all this is that the Canadian Destroyer and the RKO are so not now.
So not now! So not now. It's like, guys, just like turning something different. You know, you like, make it your own. You know, I don't care if it's freaking get a guy on your shoulders and toss him in RKO. It's just, come on. Like, it's Randy Orton's move. You know what I mean? It's like, how could Randy Orton beat everybody with the RKO, but everybody in the in other wrestling places hit the RKO and they kick out? So it gives more credibility to Randy Orton because he's the master of the RKO. Nobody, you know what I mean? So it's like Randy Orton should be happy everybody's doing his move because they all kick out, but nobody kicks out of his. So he's the best at the RKO.
That was like a few years ago when Jericho was doing the Code Breaker so much, and you saw that everywhere.
Sucks. It's like the code. Like who wants to get up from a Code Breaker with a knee like gouged into your back?
Not me.
No.
You know?
Well, and the same thing goes with the Stunner. I mean, now they have Kevin Owens using it as a finisher, but a couple years ago he did it, and they weren't letting him finish with it, and Stone Cold had a problem with it because that was it. That was the finisher, and when you're doing it and you don't use it as a finisher, like you said, it kind of cheapens the move a little bit, and now that he's actually using it as... instead of the pop-up powerbomb, he's using the Stunner, and he's putting people away with it. So now it looks just as devastating.
Yeah, Steve Austin is smart. He's protecting his move, you know? And it's you know, that's why he's Steve Austin, you know? And it's like, you know, and the one guy that should be doing that move is Kevin Owens, you know? So it's cool. That's a cool, like, you know,
hand me down.
Pass on.
So now
I always say, for development of a character, that a veteran should pass on their finish to a guy, so it gives it credibility as a finish. Like I was hoping like AEW would eliminate like people kicking out of finishes, like finishers, you know?
Yeah.
So like when they brought back the finish, like, oh shit, he just hit a powerbomb. The match is over. You know, they got rid of the kicking out shit, you know?
Yeah, the fans nowadays, they just eat up that false finish, like, but
yeah,
I...
But hey, let's be a visionary. When you hit the finish, it's it, like Mortal Kombat.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's like Mortal Kombat. You ain't getting off to a brutality, a fatality.
What about a friendship?
Ooh, shit.
No, but that is an interesting take that mainstream, a lot of people, even WWE use the false finish. NXT basically mastered the false finish, but you're right. You don't see too many really clean, like, one move and that's it type finishes.
It's a finish. It's like I feel like Shawn Michaels and Undertaker started from, like, what, WrestleMania 25 when they just kicked out everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the crowd went nuts.
Yeah, that match was like the start of like, holy shit, this is the best match in history. But it was like, because they kicked out everything, you know?
Yeah,
but it's like, how about we start shocking people, and when you hit your finish, you hit your finish. Like, when you wrestle a veteran, like, to this day, like, it's so funny. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, I'm going to hit my finish, and like, and then you're kind of like, all right, well, I'll kick out, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, well, I don't want you kicking my finish, you know? So it's cool because some people still think that way, and they should. I feel like a finish is a finish. That's why it's a finish. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, if that's your finish move, fucking protect it, you know? So remember when Hulk Hogan or when Bret Hart did their finish, you're like, oh shit, it's over.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and that when you were saying that, that's the one thing I remember as a kid is when we were growing up, anyone who hit their finish, it was it. If Michaels hit his Sweet Chin Music, it was over.
If you were in the Razor's fucking edge, that was it. When you were put in the Razor's edge, that was it. No, I don't think anyone has ever kicked out of the Razor's edge.
Exactly, and that's awesome. You know, it's like how the fuck are you gonna kick out of a Razor's edge? The guy, a 6'8" guy. Jacked out of his mind, has you over his head in a crucifix, and he's driving your shoulders and neck into the ground.
It is true.
No thanks.
It's a different type of psychology, like, of where it's still believable, where, like, this person is hitting them with this move, it's devastating, and they're not kicking out. I mean, now that you mention it, and I honestly hasn't even crossed my mind that it would be really cool to see that back in wrestling. Like, no more...
If AEW wants to shock the audience, fuck it. If they don't like it, then screw it. But, like, hey, when you hit your finish, the match is over. You know?
I'm...
Like, remember when Chris Jericho got people, got guys in the Lion Tamer, when he dug the knee in the back of the skull? The right way, not the Boston Crab way.
When you put the knee over the back, and, yeah, they had to do away with that move because it was actually too devastating.
Yeah, but no one ever fucking moved.
No, you're right. No one ever really got out of that.
It was you ain't crawling. You ain't doing nothing. Like, you know? Or when, like, Dean Malenko got guys in the Texas Club Relief, that was it.
Yeah, now that move has fallen so far to where it's just a limb target.
Yeah, the guy that was just when someone hits their finish, that's it. And then it'll draw more, is it going to happen? They're, like, you kind of, like, counter the finish you know, tease it, but when you hit it, it's it. Match is over.
Now, do you feel like if that were to go back to that way of thinking and wrestling were to go back to that you would get more fans yelling that people were getting buried because they weren't able to kick out four times from a finish?
Those fans are stupid. Yeah, you know, those fans are so not down, they don't get it. You know, some of these fans like that like to say like all this shit about moves and stuff. I'm like, get in the ring and take one and see how it feels. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, the thing that sucks is like stuff's getting watered down, so fans are thinking that it's easy, you know? And it's not, man. These guys that are doing these matches are taking so many falls, so many bumps, that you just can't have that style. So it sucks that like the fans want this, want like 10 finishes, want like all this shit, but it's not healthy for a wrestler, you know? So because like these moves are real, man. Like, it's like that wrestling ring is just metal beams, plywood, and an inch of padding. You know what I mean? So it's like these guys are killing themselves to get the pop, you know, and they're so talented and all this stuff. But like, if fans are gonna be like, "Fuck that guy, he didn't kick out of a finish." Well, no, fuck you. It's a finish, you dumb fuck. Wait up. You know what I mean? Like, it's a finish. Like, Mortal Kombat. Like, you're done. You're dead. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Like, and, like, finish need to, like, you can build your whole promo on your finish. Like, when I hit this, it's it. You know what I mean? So, like, you can tease never hitting the finish, but then hitting it, you know?
So, speaking of a finish, the last WWE pay-per-view, the Hell in a Cell, they had basically a referee stoppage, and everybody hated it. Everyone said, "How can you DQ win a no DQ match?" What was your take on the way they ended it, and fan reaction? And I mean, what did you think?
Well, it's kind of like, when Mick Foley went off the top of the steel cage, right?
Mm-hmm.
He went through that table. They should have ended the match right there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think. And they tried to.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Correct.
So what happened? It's kind of like what I would do. If I got thrown off the top of the cage and I had something left, I would tell them, "Do not stop the match because I'm not a pussy. I want to keep going." You know what I mean? Even if my finger dislocated or if I couldn't think straight, if I was bleeding like to death, I'd be like, "Don't stop the fight. Let me keep going." You know? So, but then what happened? Nick Foley got dropped off the top, choke slammed, and landed all messed up with the chair landing on his face. Right?
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have happened if they said, "You know, Nick, you know, we're protecting you from yourself. How about we just call it a night?" You know? And so people gotta look at it like that. You know, you could look at it like that. You know, like, they stopped the fight to prolong a wrestler's career. You know, protecting them from themselves. You can look at it like that, or you can look at it as a different perspective. Like, hello, it's Hell in a Cell, so there is no stopping. It's you fight to the death, you know?
I think that would have almost worked with any other person besides The Fiend. Because he's a new character, he's supposed to be some sort of demon or demonic person. He shouldn't have a match stopped because that makes him look weaker. He should have never gotten to the predicament of where he was getting beaten in the face with a sledgehammer on top of a chair. But that's just my viewpoint. I feel like
yeah.
I feel like his character should have been protected longer.
Yeah, like The Undertaker.
Yeah, I mean, if they, I understand the fact that there will never be another Undertaker, nor do they want them there to necessarily be another Undertaker, but you have to at least give
Bray Wyatt is the closest thing to it, huh? Like, come on.
Exactly, that's what I was getting at. You have to kind of, you have to let off the reins a little bit and let someone get as over as your former megastars.
Yeah.
You can't, like, you can't keep relying on them because half of them can't move.
Yeah, but how talented is Bray Wyatt, though, huh?
I feel like he's like your perfect storm of wrestler. Like, that whole horror thing, he's got...
he's the best. Like, he's so good. His promos are so good. And, like, his in-ring ability, how he can move. Like, that guy is on another level, you know? So... I don't know, like...
Now, I agree with you. Why do you think he's hit so many bumps in the road? Why he's never been the guy to be, like, the face? Maybe not the face, but one of your prime-time players. No pun intended.
Maybe he didn't pay his taxes. His dad's pissed.
I can't believe you gave me a kayfabe motherfucking answer. Here, I thought you were setting up for like this big reasonable response, and you tell me he didn't pay his fucking taxes.
Oh, IRS test? Oh,
God.
When it comes down to money, you never know how you're going to treat your son. You know, so.
You went gimmick.
So,
with all I guess Bo Dallas has ever paid his taxes.
So, Hale, there's one big thing that's going on in WWE that I know a lot of fans have a problem with. And it seems that WWE is the only company to do this because they're big enough to get the money. And that's additions like Tyson Fury and Cain Velasquez and bringing in these part-timers and not professional wrestlers. Not that these guys aren't athletic, but, I mean, you're taking time away from your main roster guys who bust their ass all year long, go on the road, and these guys come in and you're getting main event matches and big marquee matches over a lot of guys. As a wrestler who's on several rosters, how do you feel about this?
You gotta look at it as like a business, you know what I mean? Like WWE is trying to, you know, get more people to watch, you know. So did you guys watch Kane's match in Mexico?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was a completely different outlook than your tag team partner, your other half had.
Yeah, well, did you watch it? Like he was like athletic. Looks like he got it a little bit. Like he was like, you know, doing some cool stuff. You know, even though he got, you know, but it was impressive.
I agree. I think no one expected him to be able to do what he did, especially coming from the MMA background.
Yeah, and like Mexico, but then I guess what he did like on Raw, whatever, wasn't really like a good showing, I guess. But like the guy's could definitely transition well, you know. So, but they're just trying to get like a bigger audience, like. You know, a lot of people that watch UFC will probably watch WWE just to see him, you know? And from a wrestler's perspective, it's like you don't get mad at that. It's just business, man. Like, jamming audiences, and I'm like, I'll take that personal, you know. Like, if you're over, you're over. You can't get mad, you know.
Now, do you find, like, a lot of people...
Everybody has the opportunity to get over. You can't get mad if someone's over, you know.
That makes sense. I was going to ask if a lot of people got mad. That's true, but a lot of the fans today with social media know that there's easy access to about anybody. When we were watching Hulk Hogan and the great champions back in the day, we get that because you never saw Hogan on TV unless it was unless it was in New York or something.
Or it was like an angle leading up to like a pay-per-view.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you're right, but I mean, nowadays, people are spoiled, and that's basically what it boils down to. People are used to getting their way. They want to see who they want to see, and then if they're not going to see who they want to see, they're going to let everybody that doesn't care know about it.
Yeah, but, like, you know, people got pissed at the Kofi Kingston deal, but, like, if you look at it as a psychology, in, like, psychology form, like, Kofi went and jumped on a gorilla's back, you know?
No, that's completely true. I mean, you don't lunge at one of the biggest guys to step foot in the ring.
Yeah, so the psychology was there, and he got caught and beat. It's just like when Brock Lesnar fought in UFC, he lost in, like, what? Like, right away, because he got caught to the ankle. You know, like, it was cool how if people just stop and take a look back at it and just enjoy wrestling and enjoy psychology, like, Kofi ran, jumped on Brock, made a poor choice, and got F5'd and pinned.
Well, and not only that, I think people aren't giving Kofi enough credit for the run he had as champion. I think
he had a good run.
He did, yeah, absolutely. And I think, I don't know, it might have cemented him as a Hall of Famer for WWE. He's had such a great career.
Yeah, he was going to be a Hall of Famer anyway.
Yeah.
And they gave him a title. And, people think people are buried. Like, they buried Kofi. The dude's on TV every week and one of the highest merchandise guys. Like, he's not buried at all. Like, if you take a step back and just get yourself involved in the comic book of wrestling, he ran, made a poor choice, got caught, and got pinned. In the rematch, he wouldn't jump on Brock. He would probably try to tire him out, have the endurance go, try to go like 12 rounds, like, you know what I mean? And tire him out and beat a tired Brock.
Yeah, that goes again with patience and getting what you want. I mean, people want instant gratification, so they're not as willing to sit through, as much as they say they are, they're not as willing to sit through a 4-week to 8-week storyline and watch everything develop and all the intertwining, because that's what I want to see. I want to see a storyline that, A, actually means something and has a really, really good build, and there's different parts intermixed in it, and It's just the fans today don't seem like, as much as they say they want to, they don't seem like they could actually bear with it.
Yeah, like, they gotta be patient. It's a story, you know, and it sucks because sometimes fans ruin it. They don't even know they're ruining it.
Well, and it comes with the canceled WWE Network tweets and I'm never watching this again. I'm only watching AEW. I'm only watching Impact, whatever they say. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to invest, you're going to have to invest in every company whether you're watching AEW, you're going to have to invest in their stories. And granted, right now they are more exciting than what Raw may be putting on. But still, you still got to invest in storylines and in characters and wait for the payoff to come. Not just, oh, well, they didn't do it this week, so they'll never do it. I'm not watching.
Yeah, it's like you spoiled little fucks.
Spoiled.
Like, you guys can't be any more soda now. Just be patient. Like, respect it. Like, if you take a step back, the Kofi and Brock, like psychology of the match was on point. You know what I mean? Like, Kofi made a bad choice by jumping on a almost 300-pound mastodon's shoulders, and his finish is off the shoulders. Like, the psychology was there. Just accept it. It was great. You know? And so, like, it just frustrates me. And also, when I said they're going to cancel the WWE Network and stuff, why? It's not like you're just watching the current product. Like, the network goes back. So, sometimes I'm like, you know what? I think I just want to watch Ultimate Warrior vs. Hulk Hogan. We'll put that on. You know?
I keep it for... No, that's not a bad thing at all. Like, I keep it because I get to go watch and get to go back and watch old WCW, and that was my favorite growing up. So,
yeah.
So if I want to watch
everything.
Yeah.
Like it's how cheap are you? It's fucking $10 a month.
I mean,
most of the people that are canceling in quotes don't probably pay, and they're like sharing someone's password.
This is why we wanted you to come on. We wanted you to badmouth all the people listening and tell them why they're so not now. Fair point. They're not.
Okay.
It's one of those terms that's overused and oversaturated, like many other terms and whatnot through wrestling today. I mean, buried is one of those ones. Just like the Canadian, the buried is the terminology of the Canadian Destroyer. They're the equivalent.
Oh, the Canadian Destroyer. So I watched. I got so pissed, and I don't ever like comment on Twitter about people's matches or anything. You know, it's not my place. You know, I never made money in wrestling, so it's like I don't really have an opinion. And usually, people that only have an opinion are the ones that get super over and make a lot of money. So I'm not gonna shoot my opinion out there in the world, like on Twitter, when I see something like this. I watched a guy take a Canadian Destroyer, right, get up from it, like stagger, and then give a pop up powerbomb to the guy. So, you took a Canadian Destroyer and it had enough energy to 2 seconds later powerbomb the guy.
I see that. I mean, I see it a lot. I mean, in the indies, you see that more often than not. You'll see, the fast-paced movement where someone will hit a big move and then someone will be on wobbly legs and then they'll have enough energy to throw in like a huge lariat or... a DDT or
yeah,
a spine buster or something.
Yeah, it's like, but you know, it's just unfortunate. You know, and I feel like, you know, years ago, a promoter really be involved, you know, and you would get heat for bearing a move or doing a move again, the same finish as the match before, you get a ton of heat, you know? You might not even get booked again if you do the same move as someone that just did a move prior, you know? So it was always important to watch the show. Now, it doesn't matter which if that's the direction it's going to go, that's fine. You know, live the now, you know, if all that shit doesn't matter, that's fine, you know? But it takes away from things. Like, say, for example, say if someone loses to a Canadian Destroyer, one Canadian Destroyer, the guy didn't kick out the match is over. Two matches later, a guy takes three Canadian Destroyers and then a top rope Canadian Destroyer and then kicks out. How pussy does that make the guy 3 matches ago that didn't kick out of one?
No, you mean, you're right, it makes sense. And the whole thing of that sort of no-selling it, there's a wrestler now in the indies, not in the indies anymore, in AEW, Orange Cassidy. What is your opinion on Orange Cassidy and his whole gimmick and the way he is?
No, man. I first saw Orange Cassidy in the gimmick, you know, or maybe that's his life, maybe that's who he is. And I think it was Beyond in Philly, I feel. It was a while ago. But I loved it, man. Like, he does it so well. He looks like the 80s dude, you know, and it's over, it's funny, it's entertaining, you know. But the thing I like about it can evolve into something cool, you know, like cooler, because that guy can wrestle, you know.
Yeah.
And like, he's really good. So it's cool that he's getting this over now, but also, you know, he's a great wrestler, so I feel like he can evolve into something cool, like something, you know, different down the line. You know, right now he's getting over this whole slow deal. But I love it, dude. Like, I think he's good at it. I think it's a talent. And you could see him in an 80s movie.
I could definitely see him in a Tom Cruise-esque movie.
And I know I'm old school, but but he does it so well, you know, but then again, he could turn into something cool. Like, he could get triggered and he turns to this awesome cruiserweight, you know, if he gets pissed or something, you know.
Yeah, that's
the
something.
The guy can wrestle, man. The guys look great, and they look great and in shape. I'm digging it, you know.
And it's something that kind of doesn't really happen a lot in wrestling anymore, is the uniqueness of the character. Everyone's kind of got the same type of style going with, yes, you're a fantastic wrestler, you're great in the ring, but where a lot of people, I feel, lack are the creativity and just to be something different and to be something completely different.
Yeah. Well, that's what's cool about AEW. I feel like they give creative control to the people. You know, I could be totally wrong, but they give create, one thing that always inspired me to be a wrestler is the creative side of it, you know. So it's cool to be creative. Like, I never want to copy someone's moves. I want to turn into my own, or I want to just be very creative. And it's cool that Orange Cassidy gets the opportunity to take, if he did what he created and made it something cool and go on TV with it and be over, you know. So it's cool that's out there, you know. And I totally get what you're saying, because sometimes I feel that wrestling is almost like if you're in high school, if you're on the varsity football team, I compare the varsity football team to the guys that are totally shredded, doing a billion flips, they're all athletic, blah, blah, blah. And then you got guys like, you know, for example, like me, who was just a backyard wrestler in high school, and that's all I cared about was wrestling. That's why I chose ECW, because like I said before on the show, the Sandman looked like your uncle at a barbecue. So inspired me to wrestle for ECW because I knew it was possible. And the jocks, I could see wrestling for WWE, and the guys like me could wrestle like other places like ECW. So it's like, but like, they really got to get back to, and I feel like it is coming back. If you're creative, it gets over. And it's cool that the fans have social media to voice their opinion, So say, for example, if you're buried, right? If you're buried with the right people, you'll never get a contract. You know what I mean? But if the fans speak up and be like, why is this guy not anywhere? That stirs the pot, So it really helps guys that are politically challenged, to get jobs.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's a nice way to look at it, too. Like, the fans have more of a voice. Even though sometimes they feel voiceless and no one's listening, they do have a voice and they can actually help someone's career dramatically. That's absolutely true. I mean, that's pretty much the incarnation of AEW, was because the fans showed a huge interest in the Elite. They dialed into that, and now you're getting a fan-based type wrestling promotion.
Yeah, which is awesome. But the problem is, like, they can't give up on guys. They need them, So it's like when they use that term loosely, buried. If you're on TV, you are not buried. You're getting paid, So, like, people always say, oh, that guy got buried, blah, 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 that guy got buried. Man, if you saw him, he's not getting buried.
So, one last question. You hear me? One last question before we let you go. So, Vic kind of teased being in Philadelphia around Thanksgiving. Are we going to be lucky enough to maybe see Hale Collins in Philadelphia around Thanksgiving? Say maybe November 23rd?
If you see Vic, see me.
Right. That's what we were hoping to hear.
Now it's
very well said. Now you got us in the feels. Shed a tear at the end of this episode, everyone.
So, Hale...
it's cool because, like, guys like you really help guys like us to get, like, out there. And it's like, the people that always use the term buried to guys that are on TV, they're not buried. The guys that are buried don't wrestle.
Yeah.
So if the fans really want to be a part of the business and have their voices heard, how about you guys just start help like unburying people? Because like people don't have jobs, people don't have contracts because someone doesn't like them. So it's like if you look at a guy and they're in their ring and like, holy crap, this guy is awesome. Why does he not have a contract? Those are the guys that they need to support. Not a guy on TV, not a guy that has a contract, none of that. They can still support him and be fans of them and all that other good stuff, but the people they really need to get behind is people they don't understand why they don't have a contract in anywhere. Because there's a reason behind it, and they have an opportunity to bury the reason if their voices are heard, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's one of the reasons that we like talking to a lot of unknown people or people unknown to
the masses.
The masses. Yeah, exactly. So, and that's why, honestly, like when we first started our show, why we really wanted to talk to you guys as one of our first group of guests, because you were so entertaining. You were so fun to watch in the ring and as a character, that we were like, we have to find out about these guys, and other people who may not know about you guys need to find out about you, because you guys are so entertaining and fun to watch. So any way we can help, we always try to. Especially you and Vic are definitely up there with us.
I appreciate it, guys. You guys are always living it now. And that's the only way to live.
All right, Hale, thank you so much. Thank you for reaching out and asking if we wanted to talk to you, because we definitely did. And
Hale Collins shoots out of nowhere, comes in, steals the show.
Yeah. That's the thing. I keep planning, but like, hey, podcast out of nowhere.
That's right. Yeah, sounds good.
You know what is so now? A podcast out of nowhere. You know what's so not now? RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, tons of them.
All right, Hale, thanks so much, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, guys.
Be here. And we're back. There you have it. Impromptu Hale Collins interview.
Yes.
As we speak, this is Friday night.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, it's not Friday night anymore, probably. But as we are speaking, SmackDown Live is happening. And we were just discussing this. We might as well bring it to the air and end the show this way. Brock Lesnar just does a backstage attack on... He just beat up Dominic.
Yeah.
Fucking beat the shit out of him. Ripped his shirt. How dare he? This is a nice shirt. Beats up Rey Mysterio. F5s him into the wall. F5s Cain Velasquez on top of Dominic. Now, I'm going to get crucified for this, but this is the Brock Lesnar I want to see. This is Brock Lesnar. If Brock Lesnar is going to be around and he's going to be there 2 to 3 times a month, this is the Brock Lesnar I want to see. This is the Brock Lesnar that should be your champion.
Yeah, the Beast Incarnate actually looking like the Beast Incarnate.
Yes, the one who... He's the Conqueror.
Yes.
The Conqueror. This, as much as he's not around and how hated he was, when he's around and he's doing shit like this, he is why you're tuning in. That is why you're tuning in. Brock Lesnar just going on mass destruction.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, absolutely, because it's what he's made for, it's what he's bred for.
This is what he's great at.
Absolutely.
It's what he's always been good at.
And yeah, for him to be around, yeah, absolutely. Give him the title. I'm fine with that.
Absolutely just destroy everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, him losing the Rollins twice wasn't helping his case for the people with the memory.
Yeah.
But Brock Lesnar, different show, different brand, destroyed Kofi Kingston and... 9 seconds, like we went over in our interview with Hale Collins.
Yeah.
There could be something more to that. Let the story develop. But this Brock Lesnar, the one that's around, the one that's destroying people, that's the Brock Lesnar that we want to see.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So, we touched on so many different subjects with Hale, not knowing what we were going to talk about, but kind of all fit in.
Hey, you know what? We shoot the shit. That's what we do on this show. And our guests, we want them to shoot the shit with us.
Yeah.
Anything goes. Whatever the hell we want to talk about. This was not planned, so we just really went with anything we could possibly think of. We got Hale going, ripping on some fans, and then at the end, he was building the fans back up.
Yes.
Yeah. He lives in the now. He is... I can't believe he fucking hit me with a IRS... He fucking kayfabed me.
It was great. It was perfectly timed, too. So, and not only that, look, if you weren't planning on going to House of Hardcore...
If you're in the Philadelphia area, you know we'll be there. You know we'll be living in the now. Everyone else should be there. It's ECW Arena. It's 2300. Rittner and Swanson. Get your ass down there.
Yes, November 23rd. It's going to be a good night.
And... if you're in the Rhode Island area this weekend.
Monday.
No, this Sunday, the 27th, Northeast Wrestling 1 in Rhode Island. We will be sponsoring the Josh Briggs versus the Blade match. AG's Halloween bash.
Yeah.
So if you're in the area, listen for our name. Tweet us. Tell us how awesome we sounded. Hopefully they said it right. Hopefully they said, Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. It's for the gigolos and the gigolettes. Don't try this at home, and I hope you like it. Whoop, whoop. That's how I want to be announced.
Really? That's how you want to be announced?
Absolutely.
All right.
And again, I know what Larry was preluding to, the 28th. We won't be sponsoring this show, but we'll be at this show, Jimmy Lloyd's Fright Fest, down at the Voltage Lounge, GCW.
Yes.
Yeah. In the Civic Center. Coming live, wrestling.
I can't wait for this card. To see GCW live for the first time, and in this venue, which...
It's a new venue for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not for them, but it will be new for us. We are excited. We love independent wrestling. It's thriving right now. But remember, listen to what Hal Collins said. If you think this person should be over, voice your opinion. Unbury the buried. 'Tis the season to unbury the dead. Halloween.
That was some IRS. I mean, not RS, Million Dollar Man. Money, Inc., anyway.
Money.
All right. Think that's a good way of ending the show. So, we hope you enjoyed. Very soon.
Very soon what?
I said we'll be talking to you, let you sing, and then I said very soon.
Right. I guess we will be talking to you. Hopefully our regularly scheduled...
Well, look, you opened the show like that. You got to end the show like that, I guess.
We're going to be a regularly scheduled week next week, Thursday, and I hope you like it. Don't try this at home. Whoop, whoop. Later.
Emotion. I got a phoner.